This is Dramatic Chit Chat. I'm your host, Nay, and today we will talk about the Netflix dramas, Extracurricular and Itaewon Class. Extracurricular starts off with us meeting Jisoo. He's this boring student. His teacher's trying to get him more involved in activities, and he's very introverted. He's just not interested. And on his way home, we discover he's running this whole prostitution ring from his cell phone. And he has about four girls total, but the one we follow through most of the story is Minhee, as far as the prostitutes. And he has Mr. Lee, who's the muscle and the guy that brings him the money, basically. So the way this works, it seems someone sends Jisoo a message to his phone. Wonder Girls accept it. And Mr. Lee gets the girl and they go to a location. Mr. Lee waits at a designated spot. The girl does her business and he gets the money and takes her back. And then he puts the money in a locker. And Jisoo picks it up later. So it's all very anonymous, except for Mr. Lee and the girls. They know each other because they ride together. And Mr. Lee has a relationship. Like, it's so cute. It's like an uncle. It's an uncle-niece type relationship, in my opinion, with Minhee. And, you know, he's looking out for her. He's trying to get her to do the right thing. Because at this point in the story, she wants to be done with this prostitution for her mental health. Like, she's denying it, but she's having, like, panic attacks and everything else. So he's just like, you don't need to do this, because she's not really struggling. Like, she was living with family members who weren't rich but had a decent living before she decided. And they weren't mean to her or anything. But for some reason, she feels the need to prostitute so she can buy her boyfriend cigarettes and beer. I mean, they're not even living together. It's not even like they have to pay rent. It's literally just to buy him, like, the cigarettes, the beer, condoms, and, like, birthday gifts. And so she feels like she has to do this because he's this, like, top-notch guy at her school. Which I find to be very silly. A silly reason to prostitute yourself. It's too dangerous of a profession to do it for cigarettes and beer. I'm sorry. So we meet Jisoo's running this prostitution ring. It's very profitable. He's living peacefully enough. And then he gets involved with Jerry, who's a girl that the only girl in the group that the teacher was setting up. So it's a new student group, and he kind of forced Jisoo into it. And Jerry is just, I cannot stand Jerry through the whole drama. I want her to die the whole time. She's so nosy. Like, I just cannot with her. He has two cell phones, which is his normal phone and one that he runs for his prostitution business. And she sees in his bag, he has two phones. You know, a lot of boys have two phones. It's more of a player thing for the most part, it seems like. At least where I grew up. But also, it ain't none of your business. You don't even know him. Y'all not even friends. This is the first time y'all even probably said two words to each other. But no, she feels the need to go into his bag, go through his phone, see he's running a prostitution ring, harass him. He's panicking because he runs his whole business through that phone, but also his evidence against him. So he's gonna freak out. She's blackmailing him constantly, but then also playing the little friend, you know, showing up at his house and all that. And then it's like one point he's like had money and she's looking through his window. It's like she is so just nosy all the time. And she's evil. Like, she is an evil, evil girl. Like, they play it up like she's suffering at home. So this is why she has to do this. And she's this rich, privileged girl. And you have to be, careful with those plot lines. Because, like, sometimes it worked. Like, in Gossip Girl with Blair Waldorf, totally worked. Sympathize with Blair, love Blair. One Tree Hill, Peyton, did not work. Couldn't stand her. I don't know if it was just me. Didn't like her. She got better as time went on, but she was never my favorite. And Jerry is on the Peyton side. So she's worse than Peyton. Like, I just cannot stand this girl. She's evil. She doesn't care about anybody. They never even really had a romance. they would like have these, I can't even say they were flirting. They would just be evil to each other and then act like they're friends. I don't even know how to explain their dynamic. But anyway, so the first half of this drama was really interesting to me. And as much as I can't stand Jerry, she was good for like an intense villain. And then, but then we get to the second half and they enter in, Jerry's into a partnership with Jisoo, forced upon him. Because she ruined his life. She came in and just wrecked his whole business, being selfish and wanting to do things her way when it had nothing to do with her. But anyway, so they in partnership and she decides she wants to do, her parents run like this studio or something and they deal with the K-pop group. So it's a K-pop trainee who's not doing well, and so she knows he needs money. So she asks him on a roster to be a prostitute, like their first male one. He goes in to have sex with this woman, and it turns out it's a setup for a guy who's trying to kill him because he thinks the guy at this number is sleeping with his wife or something like that. So he goes up there. It's like a full-on Dexter-style kill room, plastic everywhere. They even reference Dexter in the story. And this fool just walks in like, hey, anybody here? And then we finally get a hint like, maybe this is weird, you know, and turn around and leave. They show up and they try to kill him or whatever. But the point is, this guy becomes the villain of the second half. And it sounds interesting, doesn't it? But it's not. Like, they play him up where he could have been this intense Dexter type. They play him comically. And it's just not good. Like, Jerry in the first half was a better villain for me. I was more interested. I wish they had, because there's this sideline of the police trying to find this underage prostitution ring. I wish that was more of the second half villain. And that would have been a little bit more interesting. But it was this guy and his girlfriend. And it was just not interesting to me. And they end up kidnapping Jerry twice. Well, she ends up getting hurt by them twice. He ends up having to rescue her, Jisoo. And I don't know why he rescued her. But in the midst of it, things happen. Unfortunate things that piss me off. And after all this stuff happens, she's still like, are we going to do this? And he's like, no. Even Minhee at this point has had it. She is done. And he's like, she's like, we have to do this. We can get 70% or whatever. Like, she's just trying to continue this business. And he's like, all this has happened. Are you crazy? But she's just all about herself. And she's not suffering financially, so she doesn't have to do this. But anyway, so she ends up, all this stuff starts going down. She ends up blackmailing her parents about the K-pop idol. And getting money, and she decides to leave town. I believe she went to Greece, but she wanted him to go, but he said no, which I thought was right. Like, you need to get her out of your life. But at this point, a lot of stuff happened, like I said, and Minhee's boyfriend is after him, and they get into a fight in the apartment, and Jerry comes back and knocks Minhee's boyfriend out, and they end up. But Jisoo was hurt pretty bad. Minhee's boyfriend stabbed him like 3 times or something. And so we end with it kind of being like, okay, I guess they did go to Greece or they didn't go to Greece or what. So a lot of people was complaining about the way it ended, but I was okay. Like, I feel like for the drama, because I'm not an open-ended person, but to me it wasn't very open-ended. I feel like they just somehow made it to Greece, or Jerry went to Greece by herself. He's dead somewhere because he did look like he was 5 minutes from death. But I'm okay with it. Most things I felt like was okay, or maybe I just wasn't as involved because I hated Vagabond because of the ending. And I don't know if it's because I was just more involved or because they didn't wrap up anything in drama. But this one, we were fine. My favorite characters are, like I think I might say this, but Min-hee and Mr. Lee, just their relationship. And they were the more normal people, the people with some common sense in this drama. And so even though Min-hee was a hooker, being a hooker for her boyfriend's cigarettes and beer, she still had like a more human element to her than the first two leads, than Jisoo and Jerry. So I did relate to her more on a personal level. So, overall, I definitely say this is a watchable drama. Would I say rush into it right away? Not so much, but if you're looking for something interesting, something different, definitely you should give this a try. Next up is my ultimate K-drama bias, Park Seo-joon in Itaewon Class. And this one, Park Seo-joon's character, Park Seo-ri, he loses his father, and this is a very condensed version of the story because it does take two episodes for this to happen. But he loses his father, and his father is killed in a car accident done by the son of the corporation his father worked for basically Seo-ri's whole life. So the son leaves the father out there to die. And he rolls. The way they show the father's death, though, is just, it is mind-blowing. I don't want to say it's fantastic because it's a death, but it's more impactful, I guess is what I want to say. The camera work, the way they roll down, and then later in the story, there's a similar situation with Park Seo-ri, and they redo it, and it's just, very impactful. I was just like, whoa. Like, I've never seen that type of, car death scene before. It was a lot. But it was done well for what they wanted to achieve. But anyway, so he dies. And the boy basically gets away with it. Park Seo-joon finds out that he is the one who did it. And he tries to attack him. And long story short, because Park Seo-joon's character is poor and the other boy's father is the owner of Jenga Corp, which is a super huge kind of dining corporation. They deal with a lot of bars and restaurants and that type of situation. So Park Seo-ri spends a good amount of time in jail. And he gets out and he goes to see Soo-ah, who is a girl that he had a crush on right before he was arrested, but right before his father died. While his father was working at Jenga Corp, Soo-ah grew up in an orphanage. And he spent years going to the orphanage as a representative of the company, doing donations and volunteering, da da. So Soo-ah and Park Seo-ri's father had a relationship. To the point where Park Seo-ri's father actually was saving money for her to go to college. And so Park Seo-ri didn't meet her until almost close to his father's death. But he got a little crush on her, and since he went to jail, nothing really ever panned out, but they stayed friends, they wrote letters and that type of thing. So she was living in Itaewon, and she also decided to go work for Jenga Corp. And so she had to tell him, like, even though they're responsible for your father's death and I loved your father, I'm going to go ahead and work for them. But, you know, he's always very level-headed, not judgmental, and he's just like, go ahead, do what you have to do. But when he gets out of jail, he goes to visit her in Itaewon, and she's just kind of like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm going to go on this fishing boat for 7 years. You know, I'm ex-con, I don't have many options. And I'm going to save all this money, come back and open my own restaurant. His father was also working on opening his own restaurant before he passed. So we jump, and he does this. He comes back 7 years later. He opens Danbon, I believe is how they pronounced it. And he hires a couple people. One guy is a guy from prison. And he hires Hyun, who has applied online as the transgender person of the group. She was also the friend in Weightlifting Fairy. So they're starting this little bar, and he ends up meeting Yisu, who's this very young girl, very stubborn, kind of has a nasty attitude. And she hangs out with Jang Yu-so, who is the son of the, he's like the illegitimate son of the owner of Jenga Corp. But a lot of stuff goes down, and they both end up working for Park Sari at Danbon. And the son who hit his father, Jang Ju-wan, we got Jang Ju-su and Jang Ju-wan, the legitimate son of the owner of Jenga Corp, is Park Seo-joon's, still Park Seo-joon's enemy in this drama. They headbutt a lot. But here's the thing. He's more of the, to me, the secondary. It is the father, the chairman of Jenga Corp. You've seen him in other dramas. I can't remember his real name. But he was so good in this. My favorite scenes are him and Park Seo-joon just going at each other. The romance in this story is fine. It's not heavy. So the story is not really about the romance. It's more about the revenge plot and the friendships developing around Danbon. So, and how Park Seo-joon kind of grows, and also how Yisu grows. Because she has a bad attitude. She's horrible to her friend, Jang Ju-su, to the point where it's almost ridiculous. And there's even one point where they're kidnapped by his brother, and she escapes, and she's just like, good luck, and like runs out. It's just so crazy. But she grows up a little bit. And she's in love with Park Sari for most of the drama. And she ends up working for him against her mother's will. She's like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to help him make his dreams come true. I'm going to work hard. And, you know, she just wanted to be with him, even though she was really young. So she was like, no, I'm not. You know, he was saying no, basically, all the time. And I never thought they would be the it couple, because I felt like he would end up with Su-ah, who he's like, plus it was just more age appropriate. Like I said, I think before, I didn't see this as a goblin style setup. But we do get time jumps. So she's not a young child when they end up together. But by the time they end up together, I do understand why. Like, they've been together for years. She's not this child anymore. She's matured a little bit. There are things. She's matured a little bit. But I understand why at this point. Like, we've built a business together. We've basically spent our life together these past, what, 5-6 years? Because they go from building Danbon to being like a one-stand type restaurant in Itaewon to being like a branch over in China, just having like this international feel and being able to take over Jenga Corp eventually. But what to compete with Jenga Corp. And the and throughout this whole thing, though, it seems like Jang Ju-wan, I pronounced his name wrong. We just gonna call him Wan. He just can't get over the father, too. They just cannot get over Park Sari, even when he's not doing well. They're like heads and tails above him, and they're still like harassing this poor guy that has this like mini bar in the city. But they just can't, like, he's their greatest enemy. And it's like, what? But the, like I said earlier, the scenes with the father and Park Seo-joon, by far my best moment, my favorite moments of this whole drama. Every time they're together, that little clash, I felt the tension. And I do like Yisu. I feel like most people who love her felt like she was this badass. And like I said, I struggle with the female leads in these Netflix dramas a lot of time. And she's on the fence for me. I liked her towards the end, but in the beginning, it was just like, girl, you are too much in everybody's business. And I agree with her when she was, because at one point, Su-ah was really trying to get with Park Sari. And she's like, you know, Yisu's like, I've been with him all this time. You can't even make up your decision of what you really want to do. You're working for an enemy. Like, he ain't going to be looking for, even though he kept saying he was fine with it. And in the end, she was right. Like, he can't really, we grew up together. My father did all this for you. and you still constantly go for the other side. She was very wishy-washy. And so she couldn't really make a choice. And so I think Isu had a point. Like, how can he be with you? Even though he say he will and that he'll never get over you, he's going to get over you. And he did, and for good reason. They have this scene where Park Sari just bust out in tears, and it was so random, and I was not expecting. I was like, oh my God, please do not have Park Sari crying like this. Like, it's so intense, and thank God it's not long, but it came out of like, it really came out of nowhere. I was like, oh my God, like, I've never seen him cry like this heavy in a drama. It was crazy intense. Okay. What I love about the drama so much, they tackled a lot of issues. Like, I didn't even really know race was an issue over there as far as, like, black people. Just because in these dramas, there's not a lot of black people, period. Which to me just means there's not a lot of black people in Korea. So, I just didn't even think it would be a need for, you know, racism. I don't know. I mean, not there's ever a need for racism, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it was just a non-issue in my opinion, because there were so few black people over there. Now, when I went to school, there were a lot of people who did that teach English and Korean programs. So I know it's some black people, but not enough for it to be an issue. But apparently it is, because they have this guy, Tony, who starts working at Danbon. And he deals with, like, issues of racism at the door of the clubs and stuff. They won't even let him in. They're like, no Africans. And he's like, I'm Korean. He speaks Korean. His father's Korean. And he has his issues throughout the whole show. He's just like, I'm Korean. So they deal with that. And the guy that plays Tony, he had an interview. I believe it's DKDK TV. He had an interview on their channel. I'll link it. If I can find it, I'll link the interview. But it was so good. Like, he's from Georgia, and he's living over in Korea, starring in dramas. It's a very interesting interview. It's all in English, except for about 2 or 3 minutes where they talk about how good his Korean is. And so they switch to Korean for those purposes, but they put up subtitles. Highly recommend the interview. It was very interesting. And then, I really wanted... Okay, so the best things about the drama were just the issues they tackled. They also tackled transgender, because poor Hyun was basically outed in the media. Jang Ju-soo, who was actually their friend and working with them at one point, outed her in the media as being transgendered, and it became an issue for the bar, but then they handled it well. She just went out there and was like, this is what it is, and it worked out in her favor. So the things I didn't like, and I do like the romance. I like that the romance is light in this, because I feel like if it was heavy, it would have leaned towards very goblinish, where it's borderline creepy. Luckily, this girl acted a little bit older. She wasn't wearing a school uniform all the time. But I like that they waited until the time jump for the feelings to be reciprocated. It felt very appropriate that he saw her as a young girl and was like, no, in the beginning. Especially the way her attitude was. It didn't seem like he would be this kind of rough girl would be his style. I liked the way she progressed business-wise. She was always very business savvy. She was running like an online, influencer business. She was an influencer business with Danbon. And then as she got older and they were running different corporations, she was his right, you know, she's the right hand. She's on the chair. They're doing things. They're trying to take over Jenga Corp and putting her over there. It didn't really work out, but we got all these plot lines. I like how we have the Park Seo-joon. He actually had investments in Jenga, which they didn't know. And that had an effect on everything. I like the way everything played out as far as the revenge story and the business. What I don't like about the romance, I wish we had more of the secondary romances. Because there weren't really any. But I felt like it would have been nice, because the police officer that handles Park Seo-joon's father's case handled it badly, granted. But the police officer that handled it had a little romance with she's like the co-chair. She was right up under the chairman of Jenga Court, and she was trying to help Park Sari kind of do a coup and take over Jenga Court. But she met the police officer through everything, and he had a daughter that liked her, and it was all very cute. And the way it ended, you can assume they're going to be in the same city and seeing each other. But I wish we had just got a little bit more of that. And also, I feel like Hyun, who was the transgender girl, it seemed like the guy that the prisoner that also worked at Danbon, the ex-prisoner that also worked at Danbon, had a thing for her. And it would have been nice if they played that out a little bit. You know, I love secondary romances and dramas. And I would just wish that that would have played out a little bit more. So those are really my only complaints about it. Definitely watchable. If you have not watched it, you should watch it. It is very good as far as, like I said, as far as plot and revenge and everything else. Also, oh my God, how the chairman did his son. It was horrible. I loved every minute of it. It was just like, oh, twists and turns as far as that. But it's a great story. I would definitely say watch it. Once again, thank you for listening. I can be reached on Twitter at Dramatic Chit Chat and DramaticChitChat@gmail.com. Any links that are needed will be in the show notes. And I will talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed talking to you.